Hello, and welcome to the Life Center Podcast. We're a church in Tacoma, Washington that exists to inspire our community to love and follow Jesus. To find out more about what's going on at all of our campuses, you can download the Life Center app, interact with us on social media, or visit lifecenter.com. Let's jump into this week's message. Thanks for listening.
All right. Well, good morning, Life Center. Thanks for being here today. Today, we actually bring to conclusion this series that we've been journeying through entitled Rhythms. We've been talking about a couple of key rhythms that we see in Scripture, two specifically. One has been on the idea of rest. How many of you have been able to engage in the idea of rest a little bit more this summer because of what we've been looking at in Scripture? All right, good, good. And a number of weeks ago, we began the second part of this series, and we've been talking about the rhythm of running. And so a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the purpose of our run. Last weekend, if you missed it, you need to jump online and watch it. Eric Bowles brought an incredible message on the process and the preparation for our run. In fact, he was talking about the Seahawks camp, and he made this statement. I loved it. In fact, when I heard it, I started laughing, and I texted him. He said, "It's not trying camp, it's training camp." Come on, that's good right there. But if you miss it, check it out. Today, I want us to talk about a third component of this run, and that is this idea of the prize of our run. The prize of our run. We've been starting each week looking at some of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The Apostle Paul, he writes to a group of Jesus followers who had kind of assumed that they had arrived. You ever been around somebody who feels like they've arrived? So he writes them to kind of bring some understanding and some clarity. He uses an incredible sports metaphor about running. And he says this in 1 Corinthians. I'd love for us to look together. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24. It says, "Do you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win." Can you say run to win? Run to win. "All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize." Eternal prize. Could you say eternity? Eternity. We're going to talk about eternity today. We do it for an eternal prize. And here's this continuation of this thought. "So I run with purpose in every step." Because of the prize that's in front of me, because of what's ahead of me, I discipline myself, but I also focus on this intentionality, this focus. So with that in mind, let's take a moment. Can you join me with just a word of prayer? Jesus, I pray over the next few minutes that our hearts would be opened up to hear everything you desire to speak to us. Lord, that your word would come alive inside of us today, that our lives would be transformed. In your name we pray. Come on, and everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Brandon. Can we thank Brandon for all of his work on the guitar today? How many of you have ever faced a moment in your life where you had goal confusion? Anybody ever had goal confusion where maybe you thought you were aiming at the right goal, you were kind of directing your life in the proper direction, but then after a series of events, you realized, I had some goal confusion. By God's grace, somehow I made the basketball team in middle school, and if you don't believe in miracles, let that build your faith, trust me. I made the basketball team, and I remember one game specifically, I wasn't even in the game, I was in my normal spot on the bench where I belonged, and our team, we were inbounding the ball, and it went to one of our teammates, and he was wide open, and he got so excited, and he went up, and he shot it, and he started celebrating. There was only one problem. It was the other team's basket. And so the other team started cheering, because he then became the VIP of the game for that team, not our team, right? Wrong. Goal confusion. Last night, I shared this. And I was talking about this friend in middle school, and interestingly enough, Brandon Stanley comes up to me after service, and he goes, hey, were you talking about me? I go, no, what are you talking about? He goes, well, I did the same exact thing in high school or in middle school. And so goal, confusion, it happens in life. I know when I was a freshman in high school, I went to Life Christian Academy and love our school here. And that year, we didn't yet have a football team. And so I went out for cross country because I was trying to figure out somehow I got to get a letter in Jesus' name. So I wanted to letter and a support. And so I went out for cross country. And our coach's strategy was interesting. As we began to practice and begin to train, we would show up for practice and he would say, all right, go run for an hour. And so we would go run for an hour and then come back. After a few days of this, being freshman boys, we started to get creative. Because he would look at us and say, here's what, okay, today I want you to go run for an hour. And so we would run. We would run down to AMPM. And we would buy some Snickers bars and some Coke. And then we would run from AMPM to the woods in Franklin Park. And we would hang out and we would eat Snickers bars and drink Coke. And then we would look at our watches and time it just right. And then we would sprint back to meet our cross-country coach. And we would come screaming in and just doubled over, trying to gasp for air. And he's thinking, man, I have some thoroughbreds. We are going to state this year. And everything, our plan was working until the day of our first race. Because I remember lining up for that first race and we were ready to go and the gun went off and man, we took off. We were ready. But then minutes passed and miles passed. And our coach was standing at the finish line waiting for us to come screaming across. And here was the problem. All of the other teams came screaming across. And our team came limping and crawling across. And he asked us, hey, what happened? I mean, the way that you guys have been training, something doesn't match up. Kind of looked around and one of our teammates said, well, coach, they've been running to AMPM. We're like, come on, man. We had goal confusion. Maybe you've been there. A number of months ago, I was on some vacation with my family, and I read through a book, and the author, he made this interesting point. He was talking about virtues in our lives. And he began to talk about other generations and how other generations before our generation, they lived with a perspective that wasn't just right here or right now. There was this kind of eternal perspective that they lived with. He described it this way. They lived with what we would call eulogy virtues. In other words, the virtues that actually when you came to the end of your life, those things, those values, those characteristics would be remembered with how you approached daily life. He said the problem with our culture, with our society, we don't live with eulogy virtues in mind. We just live with resume virtues. In other words, what is right here, right now? How do I advance my career? How do I get the next step? How do I receive the greater increase? And so we live in a world that's consumed with the external, the resume virtues, but in reality, what's going to last is those eulogy virtues, the internal characteristics, the internal qualities. It's interesting, Paul has been using this metaphor of this race, setting out in this intentionality of running towards not just a temporary prize, but an eternal prize. In other words, we're not just running for something on the outside, we're running for something as well on the inside. And today, over the next few minutes that we have together, I want to wrestle with this question, is the finish in focus? Is the finish line in focus? And I know at some level, maybe you're here today or you're watching online and thinking, man, Tyler, come on, it's August, it's summer. I don't want to talk about the finish line of my life. And yet, even though at some level, maybe this subject feels somewhat heavy, the reality is ignoring the reality of the finish line of your life does you no favors. Is the finish in focus? A couple of weeks ago, I shared that Amber and I were currently training for a half marathon, and 2 days ago we ran 8 miles by the grace of God. We got 8 miles in. Hey, thank you. I appreciate that. 8 miles. And yet, as we've signed up and as we've started to train for the race, you want to know what is not the great motivator of doing this race? There's never been one race that I've signed up for, paid money for, trained for, and thought, I can't wait to do this race because of all the water stops. Man, I heard this race, they don't just give you water, they give you Gatorade. Never had that thought. You don't run the race because of the water stops. That would be insanity. You don't run the race for these little moments along the journey. You run the race, what? To cross the finish line. To actually accomplish what you're training for. To keep in focus the finish. Paul is encouraging these followers of Jesus in the city of Corinth. You need to run with endurance. You need to focus on this. There's an eternal prize out there. And towards the end of his life, Paul's going to write another letter. And that's what I want us to look to today. I want us to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul writes this letter to his young protege named Timothy. And we know that this is the closing season of Paul's life because he writes this while he's in prison for a second time in Rome. The tone of this letter is different. He's trying to remind Timothy, Timothy, you have an important assignment. I need you to stick to the assignment. I need you to be aware of the significance of your assignment. But then Paul, in this closing chapter, he takes some time to reflect on himself. Says this, 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 6, Paul writes, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. Isn't that interesting that Paul, the way that he sees his own life, the perspective that he lives with is that his life is actually a sacrifice. His life is actually worship. He doesn't just worship every now and then. His life is worship. My life has been poured out as an offering. And he goes on. He says that the time of my death is near. How many know it's one thing to think about the reality of the finish line when you're knocking on death's door? Seems a little bit easier at that point to kind of reflect and consider, did I do enough? Did I do everything the right way? Has my life made a difference? But again, this isn't the only time that Paul's talking about this race or about this finish line. We saw earlier in Corinthians that he had this perspective of this finish line. The finish was in focus. He said, the time of my death is near. And he says this in verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. The fight, the finish. But ultimately, it's about faithfulness. Being faithful. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all. Can you say all? I love this. Paul's not saying, hey, I get a prize because I'm an apostle and I wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. That's not the point. He says, there's a prize awaiting me. It's not a prize that's going to fade. It's an eternal prize. And it's not just for me. It's for all who eagerly look forward to his, speaking of Jesus, look forward to his appearing. What's Paul getting at? He's reminding Timothy, Timothy, you need to remember, there's more. There's more than just right here, right now. Can I tell you, at times, it's difficult to remember that. At times, it's difficult to remember that there's more than just this life. Because even as I say that, listen, some of us right now, as I say those words, there's more than just here and now, some of us, we begin to go, okay, but what do I have to make for lunch for my kids? What's the assignment that I got to get done this week at work? Okay, I got to walk back into the office Monday. So instantly our minds go back into the here and now. But Paul's point, he's trying to help remind us as followers of Jesus under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there is an eternal prize. Eternity is one of those hard things to understand and wrestle with, but here's what we need to remember. There was a time that each of us in the room, we did not exist. There was a point that we were born and life came into being. But here's the reality. The moment that you experience life, there will never be another moment that you don't exist. In other words, eternity is a reality for each and every one of us. Yes, there was a moment you didn't exist, but there will never be a moment that you don't exist. In other words, we will all spend eternity somewhere. And Paul's perspective is we should run in such a way as to receive this eternal reward, receive a reward that does not fade, does not perish, but it is the very reward that Jesus himself desires to give us. Is the finish in focus? Is the finish in focus? You see, the prizes of this life, they will fade. The notoriety we seek, man, all the awards or accolades, trust me, friends, they will all fade away. But I have good news. The prize of heaven is eternal. It will not fade. It will not perish. It continues to go on. And yet today, as we consider Paul's words here, I want us to take a moment to look at a couple of things. I want us to take a few moments today to talk about two problems, but also two principles to keep in perspective, to keep in view in our lives. Two problems when it comes to dealing with the prize. Two problems when it comes to this perspective of keeping the finish line in focus. Here's the first problem that we often see in our world, in our culture, in our society. The first problem is this: when we live like there's no finish line. Maybe we believe it up here, but the way that we actually engage in life, it's like, well, it's not even a reality. I don't have to think about that right now. We live like it'll never come. We live like that finish line will never actually catch up with us. You know, every now and then I see my kids say things to me that sometimes hurt. The other day, they looked at me and they said, "Dad, you're getting gray." I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "You're getting gray. You're looking old." I said, "Go read Proverbs. It's a crown of wisdom going on up here, crown of wisdom. I've earned these gray hairs." It's interesting how much we want to delay the inevitable. We don't want to deal with the fact that there is a finish line coming. And yet we look in the mirror and at times we see evidence that there's some aging happening. There's some life happening. And eventually what those wrinkles, what those signs begin to show us is we won't be here forever. So what do we do? What do we just pretend like the finish line doesn't exist? No, Paul's words is to keep in perspective the finish line. It's not to abandon the reality that the finish is there. It's also not to abandon the reality that what you're doing right now matters. Because here's the challenge. Sometimes if we just get caught up right now in the here and now, we spend time chasing things like money and all of these temporary things, which in and of themselves are fine, but when we make them ultimate things, that's where we get into trouble. We get consumed with right here, right now. Paul says, no, don't just get consumed there. There's another danger, though, and that's when we don't even think about right here and now. We're just kind of longing for a heavenly escape, just kind of hanging on for Jesus to come. And here's the problem with that. We don't steward the race that we're called to run. So somehow we have to keep both in perspective. You see, the problem is when we live like there's no finish line, but here's the principle that I want to share with you. A finish line is guaranteed. It's not a question of if. A finish line for each and every one of us is guaranteed. I've run a number of races in my life, and every now and then when I look at the results, there's three letters, DNF, did not finish. Can I tell you, none of us have that luxury when it comes to life. We will all finish. See, I want you to think for a moment about skydiving. Anybody ever gone skydiving in the house? Really quick, skydivers. Okay, lots more people in this than the 830, okay? Now, I've never gone skydiving, but I want to talk about the goal of skydiving for a moment. The goal of skydiving is not to merely jump out of a plane. The goal of skydiving is not to merely, once you've jumped out of the plane, to have your parachute go off. By the way, the big goal of skydiving is not to reach the ground, because can I remind all of us that's going to happen one way or another. Can I get an amen? Amen. Anybody who's ever jumped out of a plane, trust me, your only option is to hit the ground. The goal is not to hit the ground. The goal is to hit the ground alive and with all of your limbs still connected. That's the goal of skydiving. And just like life, the goal is not just to hit a finish line, because here's the reality, friends, a finish line is guaranteed. It's going to happen whether you want it or not. It's guaranteed. But even as I say that, listen, the results of the race, the results of crossing the line, they're determined by intentionality. How you finish is determined by your process, what you put forward as we journey together with Jesus. So please don't make the mistake, don't embrace the problem of thinking that the finish line isn't there, that it doesn't count, because we have to somehow keep that in focus as we journey and steward the race that he's entrusted to us. But today, here's the second problem. The second problem that shows up in our world or in our lives is when we assume that there shouldn't be a fight. We make this assumption, hey, I said yes to Jesus, so life should get easier. Anybody ever make that mistake? I said yes to Jesus, and now all fights should disappear. Doesn't happen that way, does it? It's interesting that Paul, as he's communicating to Timothy, he's saying, Timothy, listen, I have fought the good fight. In other words, even engaging in this race, there's going to be moments of battle. There's going to be some uphill moments that you did not sign up for, that you did not expect, and they're going to happen. But here's what can sometimes creep into our thinking. Wait a minute, so I said yes to Jesus, now I'm in the midst of this fight, so either Jesus, you're not faithful, or you're not good, or I did something wrong. What's going on here? Sometimes when the fight shows up, we get confused. But listen, just because you're in the midst of the fight does not mean that God has forgotten about you. It probably means that you're running in the midst of the race, that you're engaged in the battle. Friends, if there wasn't a battle, Paul wouldn't talk about the armor of God. This life, sometimes it brings a fight, but we have to know the difference between what the real fight is and what distractions are. Because there's a difference. There's a big difference. Here's the principle that I want to talk about when it comes to this idea when we engage in the fight. The fight isn't to finish. The fight is to finish faithful. Again, as we talked about a moment ago with with skydiving. The finish is guaranteed. If you're breathing right now, the finish is guaranteed. If you're not breathing right now, you finished. The finish is guaranteed. So the fight isn't just a finish, friends. The fight is to make sure that we finish faithful. And how do we do that? We do that by not just being consumed with the here and now, but we have this eternal perspective that we're continuing to push towards and move towards. We fight to finish faithful, but here's our hope, and listen to this clearly. This is our hope in the midst of that fight, that Jesus has been and will be faithful to us. Jesus is faithful. That's where I find the strength to be faithful. It's not my faithfulness that brings his faithfulness. It's his faithfulness that empowers my faithfulness. Do you notice the difference? And yet the fight often shows up in my life in one of two ways. Sometimes the fight shows up like this. I want to be right. You ever experienced that in your life? I want to be right. So the Spirit will begin to kind of nudge our heart. Hey, you're getting off course. And we say, no, you don't know, God, what I know. So we keep running off course. I want to be right. The other fight shows up like this in my life. Maybe you can relate. Not only do I want to be right, I want it right now. I want things right now. And so instead of delaying anything, instead of waiting for eternity, instead of any of that, I want it right now. And here's the problem. That is a water stop mentality. Just temporary moment, temporary pleasure. I want it right here, right now. But friends, the fight isn't just to finish. It's to finish faithful. To finish faithful. To finish faithful. It's interesting that Paul, as he recounts his life, he says, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've remained faithful. But Paul is about to continue on. Can we jump back to 2 Timothy? I want to read a few more verses. Look at verse 9. He says this, Timothy, please come to me as soon as you can. It's interesting, a man who is about to die is asking Timothy to come and spend time with him. Why? 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 Well, we find out in verse 10. Paul says this, Demas has deserted me. Who is Demas? Well, in the book of Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, as Paul is concluding that letter, he writes that his companions, Luke and Demas, are with him, and they send their greetings. In Philemon, as Paul writes that letter, he says, listen, all of these brothers send their greetings, including Demas, one of my companions. Who is Demas? Demas was on the journey with Paul. Demas had that finish line and focus. They were on assignment with Jesus, living out this call, doing what God had called them to do. But listen to Paul's words. You can almost hear the ache in his soul. So he writes this. He says, Timothy, please come to me as soon as you can. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life. Another translation says it this way, Demas has deserted me because he's in love with this present world. In other words, here's somebody who had this perspective of eternity, but now has wandered off course. So Timothy, I need you to come because he's deserted me and he's gone to Thessalonica. And we hear that and listen, this should cause some level of awareness in our lives that it's possible to get off track in the run. It's possible to lose focus. It's possible to begin to chase the wrong goal. But Paul doesn't stop there. Listen to what it says. I want to skip down to verse 11. It says, only Luke is with me. Then Paul says this, bring Mark with you when you come, for he will be helpful to me in my ministry. Catch that. You know who Mark is? Mark is this young man who in the book of Acts, we read about Paul and his companion Barnabas. They get into a fight. Can you imagine that? Two followers of Jesus fighting? Not seeing things the same way? Paul and Barnabas, they get into this dispute, they get into this argument, and it's so severe that they separate ways. There's a division. What was the division over? It was about this young kid named John Mark, who had deserted them, who had gotten his eyes off of that calling. And Paul says, I don't want anything to do with them. And now, all of these years later, what was once useless, Paul says, now is useful. So listen, there's some of us, maybe today, we find ourselves in a seat like Demas, and we've lost sight of the call and the journey and the race that God has called us to. Can I tell you, even if you feel useless, God in his grace can make you useful. Why? Because a young man like John Mark, who was useless, who had wandered, who had drifted, God in his grace did a work, renewed things, and got him back on track. Friends, there is an eternal prize that we're running for. We're not just running for some amens on Sunday mornings. We're running to transform a city. We're running to see Jesus lifted up in our lives. We're running to bring as many people to heaven with us as we possibly can. So today, listen, if you've ever felt useless, the good news is God has grace. And he takes what's useless and makes them useful. Friends, there's a finish line. We got to keep it in focus. We got to keep it in focus. We got to keep it in focus. Can I invite you to stand to your feet with me this morning? I want us to take just 2 minutes before we dismiss. And I want us to make just a simple declaration as the worship team leads us, this simple truth that never once will Jesus let us down. See, the truth is, I've failed God so many times, but never once has he failed me. I've let him down, but never once has he let me down. And it's because of his faithfulness that, friends, we can finish this race faithfully. And so today, let's make this our declaration. You're never gonna let me down. Let's sing it together.